Hey there, and welcome to another episode of the Love Offering Podcast. I'm your host, Rachel Adams, and today's guest is Rochelle Starr. Rochelle is on the show today talking about how a little vision goes a long way based on my devotional, A Little Goes a Long Way, 52 Days to a Significant Life. Rochelle has written Outrageous Obedience, Answering God's Call to Shine in the Darkest Places, and she is going to light a fire in your soul to step out in greater ways and become fearlessly and outrageously obedient to the Lord. Join us to be inspired by Rochelle's true stories and biblical encouragement and discover the courage to say yes to God. Then witness the fruit and the blessings of your obedience to the vision God has given you. Hello, Rochelle, and welcome to the Love Offering Podcast. I'm so happy to have a fellow Kentuckian and a woman that's got a similar name as mine. You know, I feel like we're already kindred spirits from the get-go.
Kindred spirits, you know, sisters in Christ. That doesn't get much better than that, right?
That's exactly right. Well, today's conversation is about how a little vision can go a long way. When you were 23, you started going to strip clubs to share Christ's love with the dancers, and you have since founded Scarlet Hope, which is a nonprofit dedicated to sharing the hope of Jesus with women in the adult entertainment industry. So I'd love for you just to start today's conversation by taking us back to the beginning of this ministry and what drew you to the hearts of these women.
Oh man. Well, going back to the beginning, that seems like a long time ago, but it also seems like yesterday. It was about 15 years ago, but really the journey started 2 years before that. When I was about 21 years old, I just got married, moved to Southern Indiana, right 5 miles from Louisville, and started asking God, like, what am I here on this earth for? I grew up a pastor's kid, and married a pastor's son, and really wanted God to call me to something for his kingdom. And so for 2 years, I would pray, and this sounds like I'm so holy, but no, this is not. It came from the Lord. It was an unsettled feeling in my spirit that he was creating me or had created me for more, but I didn't know what that was. And I didn't really know. I kept praying, God, who have you created me for? I know you, but also on this earth, who? And so 2 years, I would drive into work and I had sort of convictionally said, I'm not going to listen to music. I'm going to pray. And I'm going to ask God, help me to have eyes to see the people around me, and I'm willing and ready to go wherever you want me to go. And so 2 years passed. I did lots of funny things. I would pick up homeless people. I'd do all sorts of crazy things thinking that that was what God was calling me to. And those were good things, but that wasn't the God thing that God was calling me to. So when I was 23, I had driven past a Theater X hundreds of times, going back and forth from work to the store, and I had never given two thoughts about that place. And this particular day in May of 2007, I was on my way into work and God turned my attention in my spirit towards that place. And I heard him very softly, but very, very seriously say, Rochelle, I'm sending you to that place, to those women, to share my hope and my love. Now, growing up as a pastor's kid, I honestly, Rachel, had no idea what the sex industry was. I lived in small towns. We didn't have strip clubs. We didn't have this type of thing. And in 2007, sex trafficking wasn't even talked about. So to be honest, I only had the Lord's call and the Lord's vision for going and sharing his love and his hope. And so from that point, I told my husband, I called him that I said, God finally answered my prayer. And he's called me to go and share his hope and love with women in the sex industry. And my husband's exact words were, that's exactly what Jesus would do. Mm-hmm. And from that exact moment, I knew that's exactly what I was going to spend my life on. So that's how it started.
Oh my word. I'm like all teary. I've got all the goosebumps. I'm already inspired by today's conversation. I love what your husband said, and I think he's exactly right. That's exactly what Jesus would do. And maybe that's our prayer. Like, I'm already just thinking, like, everybody listening, start to pray that prayer that you prayed. Lord, like, not just what, but like, who do you want me to see? Open my eyes. Let us be silent enough and still enough to listen and to pay attention and then obey and then to see and minister and love the least of these. It's so, so beautiful. Every ounce of what you just said. And one of the things that you also say that I absolutely love is this. You say, love people one at a time and continue to love them no matter what. And I think, I mean, if we're honest, like this is a challenge. But how have you stayed faithful to love the one? And how would you convince us that one woman really does matter?
Yeah, so that also was it's like, I have a deep convictions about certain things. And that's one of them is God did not honestly even call me to start a ministry. He just simply said, go. And then he said, her. And then he started giving me lots of hers, you know, like her, I want you to see her. Well, in the midst of that, and really what I mean by that when I say it is I can't love the women that I'm called to serve if I have expectations on what they do when I share the gospel or when I give them something or when I love them. I cannot have that expectation or else truly, it's hard to stay faithful to the one, right? And so just really that one at a time in giving that one woman our attention and our time and our care has served us so well in the ministry because there are thousands of women in this industry. Hundreds of thousands. There are millions of women that are trapped in exploitation and trafficking. And to be honest, if you focus on how many there are and you don't focus on the one, I've seen two responses: to be paralyzed and or frozen and not do anything, or just simply not care because it's too big. So if you focus on the one, we can all have one relationship. And that matters to God, that one person. So,
you know, what it makes me think of is as back to Jesus, how he went out of his way to minister to the one at the well, the woman at the well. And he spent time with her as much as he had to do, as much as he needed to accomplish in his 3 short years of ministry, his 33 years of life, he went to meet with her. And that was enough for that day. And I think that that's like, and I say it probably ad nauseum, but like if nothing was too insignificant for the Savior of the world, then nothing is too insignificant for us. And so just, I love this reminder to focus on the one. And so now you've written a book titled Outrageous Obedience. So, but I'm just interested, do you think that there is an element or an aspect of ordinary obedience as well as it maybe leads up to this outrageous obedience? I don't know. What are your thoughts on that?
Of course. I mean, here's kind of right. We're in 2022. We're in a day and age where Christianity and the gospel is becoming less and less acceptable, relevant, all of those things. And so quite frankly, I would say that the ordinary obedience to be a Christ follower and to love people that are all walks of life, the cashier at the grocery store, the banker, the adoptive mom, the foster mom, the mom that just had an abortion, like all those things, like any act of obedience and love for those people or anybody is honestly outrageous in our culture right now, right? Mm-hmm. But I think I agree with you in just thinking, like, people say to me all the time, thank you for being obedient to this vision. And I just can never do that. And what I always say it besides like, thank you, but is like, all of us, if God called us to something outrageous or ordinary, he would equip us and give us exactly what it is that we need to do that. And so ordinary obedience, I have to be ordinary in my everyday life, right? Not just going to strip clubs, not just serving meals on the streets or wherever, but in my everyday life, I interact with people all the time. And I have a choice to be ordinarily obedient to the gospel and to the Spirit to love people all the time. So But I do believe we are all created for that outrageous obedience that just serves God's kingdom in such a special and amazing way, but all of it matters. Every single last act of obedience matters to God.
Yeah. It makes me think of just like the both and. It's not necessarily an either or. It's just like, just be obedient. Like, we do our part and let God do his. Our job is obedience and his job is the outcome. So when God gives us a vision for something big, you know, it can feel really scary or unrealistic. And like, to your point, you were just saying like, so sometimes if it feels too big, we just don't do anything at all. You're like, well, there's no hope. Why would I even begin something? Like, I don't even know where to start or whatever our excuses may be. So how would you encourage us just to be obedient anyway?
So that's what, you know, the book is really all about. Yes, I use the story that God gave me, but there are fears that I have that we all have in anything that God's calling us to do. For instance, I'm sure you and I both have been on an airplane, or some of these listeners have been on an airplane, and you're sitting beside somebody and you feel like the Holy Spirit wants you to talk to them, but instead you like put on your, you know, your earbuds and you're like, nah, that's okay. Like, maybe next flight. All those little moments in time that are kind of like scary, or you don't want to inconvenience someone. I have found that the most amazing moments in my journey with Christ is when I do the little small, like, oh, I am obedient to the little small whispers. Say, talk to that person, speak life into that woman that you see. And the other side of that, once you do it so often, it's not scary anymore, right? Like the big giant, like what ifs and the fears go away, because God, you will begin to see God's faithfulness. And even if somebody that you are prompted to share something with or share the gospel with doesn't accept it, or even says something hateful to you, you were and are growing a relationship with Christ in a way that I don't think could ever happen if we weren't obedient to that, right? To those promptings. And so I just encourage you to start practicing like a muscle, and anybody listening, just practice that, and it gets less and less scary as time goes on.
And I find too, I agree that it kind of is contagious, because when you do obey to the Holy Spirit prompting, those whispers you're talking about, and then God answers and you see like him working, and it's like, oh my gosh, that was amazing to get to be a part of that, to partner with God. And then it's like, you just want more of that. I feel like I've found that. And so I'd love to hear what role other people have played in your life as far as their support of you, their encouragement of you. Like, what does that look like in your life of encouraging you to continue answering God's call on your life and to continue to be obedient?
I mean, we'd be on this podcast all day, in all honesty, because I want to mention two people that immediately come to my mind with this question. One is my husband. I would not be able to be who God had called me to be and for if my husband wasn't 100,000% encouraging me every day. Don't give up. God's giving you a vision. God's giving you a purpose. And so that is number one. And he's played a huge role in that. The second person is a person that actually didn't come into my life until about 11 years ago. And I, in all honesty, she had seen a newspaper article about our ministry, and she showed up on my doorstep with a donation of some curtains. Well, that woman has become my mentor and has been with me, met with me weekly for 11 years, and is become a spiritual mother to me. And I think about her and I'm so grateful that God has placed her in my life to keep encouraging me to be obedient and to keep following the Lord. Because I think it's so easy to feel alone as a leader and as somebody that has somewhat of an unusual life. I go to strip clubs and share the gospel. That's not totally normal. So it can be very lonely. And so God has like set people in my life all along the way. And I can list a lot of them that he has truly put there on purpose to keep me going.
And you know what I love, Rochelle, is now you're that person for every woman listening, every woman that's going to read that book, every woman that you have impacted with your life. And I love that I can just sense your heart. And for you all can probably hear her tears, but I'm seeing them. And what a beautiful, beautiful heart you have. And I think so. Sometimes we need to maybe jump on board with a vision that God has actually given somebody else. You know, I know we're talking about like your vision, but you know, people I'm sure have, like you just said, the your mentor, she's come alongside you. Like she's jumped on board to your vision. Your husband has. So how important is it to you, your organization, to have people join your mission?
Oh my goodness. I mean, none of this would have been possible without that, right? Like, it's the multiplication part of the kingdom. If I kept all of it to myself or only never wanted to take anybody with me, or, you know, just God called me, we would reach, I mean, yeah, that's good. And we would reach a few people, but now thousands of women have been reached because people have joined the mission and been inspired to do that. And I often think it always takes one person to get out there and kind of be a little crazy, and then other people feel more comfortable to join that. And so, I mean, none of this would be possible if it wasn't for the volunteers and the donors and the mentors and everybody. And now the coolest part about this mission is women from the industry that have come to know Jesus are now a part of that and are volunteers, and they work here, and it just doesn't get better than that.
Yeah. Oh, it's beautiful in every way. And so your tagline of your book says, answering God's call to shine in the darkest places. And I think really, Rochelle, like this is all of us. Like this is our universal call that can be fulfilled in so many different ways. So how would you encourage the women listening to live this out daily in their own lives?
I've really thought about this because I want the book Outrageous Obedience. Obviously, I'm using my story called to women in the sex industry, but every single day I get to interact with women who are pushing up against the darkness in all sorts of areas. I'll give you an example, and hopefully this will help people have an idea of like this woman that I am really good friends with. She was called to foster, but she was scared. She had three other kids. Two of them are adopted. One of them special needs. And she wanted to foster some kids, and she has had really hard cases one after the other and just suffering and hardship along the way. And one of the things that I was able to walk alongside her with just yesterday is when that child comes into her home, and her home is a godly, gospel-centered home, she is able to share the light of Christ with a child that has experienced deep darkness. And yes, fostering is not, everyone's not called to that either. But if you look around, just look around at people. And that's why I love to talk to people all the time. Like I'm constantly wanting to find out more and more about, sometimes I'm called the investigator because I'm like, I'm asking them 20 questions about their life. But people want to be heard, and people want someone to tell their story to. And so when God allows you to see and hear those pieces of people's stories, you see the darkness that has happened or in people's lives, and you can shine the light of Christ and speak truth to them. And it can be a very simple way. So from the mom that fosters to the woman who works with sex trafficking victims, to women who have pro-life ministries, all sorts of things that I get to experience through people. They are pushing up against the darkness with the light of Christ, and women and people all over are just answering that call. And so I think what's encouraging, Rachel, is that there are people doing it with them. So whatever God's calling someone to step into that darkness, there are people that are doing that and want to join you and want to, you're not alone, right? Like, you're not alone in this. So I just encourage you to take that first step of obedience. It'll be the best thing you've ever done.
Yeah. Yeah. It can be a very dark world, but I am reminded of how much light there is too. And like the more we join forces, that those sparks turn into flames and that light gets even brighter and brighter. So, you know, we've talked about people coming alongside you if you have a vision, but so let's talk to the women that they're like, I feel like God has given me a vision of something, like some dream he's placed in my heart. I feel like he's speaking to me, but she just doesn't know where to start. So how would you advise her today?
Yeah, that's a great question. I get that a lot. And so one of the things I think is discovering, and I don't say this to be discouraging about it, but is it a good thing or is it a God thing? Like I mentioned to you before, I did good things. I picked up homeless people. I served at all different various areas, but it wasn't exactly what God positioned me for, right? So when someone is got a vision in their heart, and one of the, I think the telltale signs is like, this hasn't gone away, right? Like women come up to me when I speak and say, 40 years ago, God laid this on my heart and I just did not know what to do. Praise be to God, you can start today, right? Like you can start today. And what it looks like, a lot of us women, we want every piece of the puzzle, Rachel.
Yes, we do.
But I have found, especially in my walk and then in journeying with other women, is if you take the first step, that's more than likely all he's going to give you. And then the first step will show you the next step and will show you the next step. And God will orchestrate the vision that he's called you to in that way. So my encouragement to listeners that have a vision in their heart is, what does it look like to take the first step for you? And for me, just real quickly, for me, that was, even though God called me in May of 2007 to women in the sex industry, I did not know what that was. He did give me a place and he did give me a people. And he even said, my hope and my love. But I didn't really know what that looked like. I spent a year and a half with my best friend every Tuesday, praying and fasting, driving around 27 strip clubs in our area. And we prayed and simply asked God, where do you want us to go? When do you want us to go? And God, will you open a door? And in August of 2008, he was faithful to answer that prayer.
I'm just thinking about, in my devotional, I'll talk about Nehemiah. You know, that started with him, with a passion and a stirring and a voice from the Lord. But then he had to go through the process too, prayer and fasting and going to the king, traveling to the location, looking at, riding around at night to look and assess the situation, then, you know, delegating different jobs to different people coming alongside him. And then like what everybody else said was impossible, they then rebuilt this wall in 52 days. And I just love, like, and I think so often we're tempted to even just read the Bible, look at lives like yours, and you're like, well, God gave her a vision and then it happened and look how successful it is. But there's such an element of God is working little by little, and you're so right. It happens piece by piece by piece. Continue taking the next obedient step, listening to his voice and continuing to stay in step with his spirit. And I'm just so excited to think about, and I just think about the impact of your book and what this could be. And even of this conversation about when women start to listen to God's voice and be obedient to what he's calling them to do, whatever that vision may be for themselves or coming alongside somebody else's vision. What do you think is possible when we start to be like outrageously obedient?
Oh my goodness. I mean, first of all, we see the kingdom come to earth. Like we see God move when women answer the call to be obedient to Christ. whether ordinary or outrageous. It's a ripple effect. One thing that I did not know, or I guess I was not expecting, was that women that I would meet, share the gospel with, and they would come to know Christ, would then go tell their children. Mm-hmm. And I told you, I've been doing this for 15 years, so I know teenagers now that I met their moms when they were pregnant. Mm-hmm. And they know Jesus. And the ripple effect is just unbelievable. And so I think we could set this set the world for the gospel, you know, on fire. And I think that that's exactly like God is just like, all of it's right there. Like the harvest is plentiful. Mm-hmm. And the Bible does say that workers are few. But when a worker steps up to the harvest, honey, it's going to be like, it is amazing what God can do, right? Because it's not us. Mm-hmm. And that's a message that I really want to get out with this book is it is not dependent on us. Mm-hmm. God, by his grace, chose to use me and use women that are answering his call. But I am not their savior. So the greatest part is that I get to be, yes, obedient, but I just get to be along for this beautiful kingdom journey here on this side of heaven. And when women are inspired to be a part of kingdom work, I mean, there's nothing better than that. And it's like a whole world awaits us. So I could go on, but yeah. It's just a beautiful thing that God does in his children.
Yeah. What a privilege to get to partner with God. And I'm just thinking too, you know, there's so much benefit and blessing and fruit when we do obey, but there's really so much at stake if we don't. You know, you think like people's eternal salvation, people like bringing that heaven to earth. What if we don't? Do you know? And that almost like, that's convicting to me. And that almost brings me to tears. And I pray that we all kind of sit in the severity of that, both, you know, like what if we do obey the benefits and what if we don't, the consequence. That's heavy. And that's big. And so as we're kind of coming to a close, Rochelle, I'd love to just hear, and this is kind of the culminating question I'm asking all of my guests this season. So how have you seen a little vision go a long way?
I mean, one of the first things that comes to my mind is, you know, our ministry started serving 30 women in one strip club. And now 600 plus women serve 8 cities and thousands of women all over the U.S. And by God's grace, we've been able to train people all over the world to bring the gospel to the sex industry. That started with a very little vision. I would also pair with that, God's vision is never little. Mm-hmm. That it's always outrageous and it's always big no matter what it is. And I just think that it just, going back to your question, like it just takes the first step. You got to take the first step of obedience. And if God's called you with a vision already, you're more than halfway there.
Yeah, it reminds me of like, he's going to do more than we can ever ask or imagine because he is such a big, amazing God. So Rochelle, I know I want to stay connected with you. I'm sure listeners are going to want to stay connected with you. So tell us how we can best do that.
Yeah. I mean, me personally, my website's RochelleStarr.co and you can follow me on Instagram, RochelleStarr.co, or our ministry is ScarletHope.org and The Scarlet Hope Instagram, but we're in 8 cities. So there are many different ways to connect with us in each of those cities. If you live in Nashville or Miami or Vegas, and we'd love to connect with you any which way, if God's calling you. And I love to hear women who have outrageous obedience stories. And so I would just love to connect with you so you can do it that way.
Yeah. And make sure, and everybody pick up a copy of Rochelle's book, Outrageous Obedience. And yeah, we never touched on this, but Scarlet's Hope, is it from the story of Rahab and the Scarlet Thread? Is that, I mean, or what, no, it's not. What's the story?
I don't know how much time we have, but I'll try to give you the shortest version that I have. The story came from Matthew 27:28, where they are stripping Jesus of his robe and of his clothing, and they put a scarlet robe on him. I'd already been in the strip clubs for 6 months, and I had seen women come in with bruises, with I had seen a woman get spit on. I'd seen a woman who had been beaten the night before, you name it. I'd already seen it in 6 months. And when I read that verse, Jesus said to me, like, through scripture, my blood covers all of that. And so I ran into my husband's office and I said, God just gave me the name for the ministry. It's Scarlet Hope. And he said, let's pray about that, you know? And I was like, okay. So we did. And 4 days later, we went into a strip club to serve a meal. And I'm going to condense the story down. I met a woman who, it was her first night at work. She was kind of drunk and she came over to me and I asked her if she wanted something to eat. And she said, how much does it cost? I said, it's free. And she looked at me and she said, the only reason why I'm up here is because I have 5 children that have not eaten in a week. And this food is free. And I said, yes, it's free. She said, well, can I have some? So of course we started making her a plate. Well, because she was a little bit drunk, she unfortunately threw up all over me as I was getting her plate. Didn't even miss a beat, didn't even time to wipe off. She turned straight towards me and said, will you pray with me? Now, when we go into strip clubs, we do not wear neon signs that say, you know, Jesus loves you or anything like that. We don't even call ourselves Scarlet Hope or the Church Ladies. Anyways, at this point, so she says, we pray with me. So I pray with her. She drops to her knees and she cries out to God. The whole strip club, the music stops, the lights go off. The DJ, you know, is like, what's going on here? And it was this moment in time that I honestly can't describe very well without crying, but Jesus was there. And she stood up, and as sober-minded as she said, I met Jesus tonight and I'm not going to work here. And so I said, well, let's pack up all this food so you can take it home to your kids. In the meantime, the owner of the club had called her a taxi because you cannot leave a club drunk. And he thought she was still drunk. So we go out, get all the food, pack her in. And while we're walking out, she had said, I have so much hope. And I was like, thank you, God. Like, that's why we came here. And we walk out and put her in the taxi with all this food and anything we could find. And I said, you know, I didn't get your name. And she goes, my name is Scarlet. It smiled in the taxi, drove away. And my friends and I that were there, they knew that the Lord had spoken the name Scarlet Hope to me. And we just stood there in awe of God. Like, God, you are here. And this is your affirmation that this little vision is yours.
Oh, amen. What a perfect way to close. Thank you so much for sharing that. Thank you for being my guest. Thank you for being so obedient and encouraging us to be outrageously obedient as well, and to believe that a little vision can go a long way. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Rachel, for having me.
Thank you so much for tuning into today's episode with Rochelle Starr. I pray that today encouraged you to be ordinarily and outrageously obedient and to believe that a little vision goes a long way. This week, your little task is to consider if there's a project that excites you in your community. Join in the work and help finish the project to see the vision come to fruition. If you are interested in show notes, you can head on over to @RachelAdamsAuthor on Instagram or on Facebook. I'd love to connect with you there. I'd also love to connect with you over on rachelkadams.com. There you can subscribe to receive your love offering newsletter, and that will be sent to your inbox each and every week. You can also listen to previous podcast episodes. You can read the blog series. You can download free resources like the Friendship Devotional, the Advent Devotional, the Mother's Day Devotional. There are all kinds of goodies there. And again, you can find that at rachelkadams.com. Next week, my guest is Sarah Hauser. She's going to be talking about how a little rest goes a long way. I can't wait to chat with you again then. But until then, I hope you have a terrific week. And as always, remember to lead with love.